Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. Unusual Sunday that we visit Matthew morning and evening, but I trust you'll see why. I've entitled this brief message, and my goal is that we would still have 20 minutes or so, 15 or 20 minutes at the end, to turn in our groups and pray together about these matters and some other important items in the life of our church, as is our monthly custom. But we have discussed as elders, and it did seem appropriate and timely to strike while the iron was hot and address this message of this brief devotional I've entitled Gay Weddings and Reaching Our LGBTQ Friends. Gay Weddings and Reaching LGBTQ Friends. Matthew 19, verse 3. Matthew 19, verse 3. Some Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all?" So Jesus gets thrown a major ethical, marital, hot button, burning issue of his day. And he answered verse 4 and said, "Have you not read he who created them from the beginning?" He goes straight back to Genesis 1 and 2. "Made them male and female," that's Genesis 1, "and said," this is Genesis 2, "for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." Lord, we come to sensitive and important matters. Please help me to be faithful to your word, not to go beyond what is written, to be helpful to your people, and to let marriage be held in honor amongst all, as your word says, in a day and age where it is under such attack and assault. Because, in fact, the very gospel is at stake, that you've chosen of all the relationships and human societies in life, this very institution of marriage in which to most clearly depict your redeeming love and Christ's union with his people. Teach us, we pray, Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen. It is in the painful providence of God that Alistair Begg's very public fall provides us all a teachable moment to learn important lessons. "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall," 1 Corinthians 10. James 3, "Let not many of you become teachers, for such will incur a stricter judgment." The man, a brief word, Alistair Begg, senior pastor of Parkside Church in the state of Ohio in the U.S., originally from Scotland, been pastoring there for the past 41 years. Truth for Life is his radio and online program, known and loved around the world. He's author of many books, popular conference speaker, often for Ligonier, for Shepherd's Conference, for Masters University, and elsewhere. If you've heard an Alistair Begg sermon, you know of his name or ministry, raise your hand. Well known, well loved, rightly so. That's the man. Here's the situation. It's a recent radio interview. Begg told of how he was asked by a grandmother if she should attend her grandson's gay or trans wedding. Begg answered her, basically, "As long as you've made your disapproval clear as a Christian, sure, attend the gay wedding, and for that matter, take a gift so that you're not seen as judgmental, so you can reach them for Christ." Pastor Begg's counsel sent shockwaves throughout the Christian world. Countless believers, some that you and I know and love, maybe some of you here in this room, have paid a bitter price with loved ones, have been cut off by dearest family and friends because you would not attend a gay wedding. But now, one of the most prominent Reformed evangelical pastors in the world says, "Go to the wedding." Standing for Christ, in other words, doesn't have to be that costly. There is an easier path, a softer road, a more comfortable version of Christianity. There are ways around that cross you thought Jesus called you to carry. As we saw this morning in Matthew 16. Sadly, last Sunday night, if you wondered, by the way, why I didn't mention Begg's name in my brief reference last Sunday, it was with this kind of thing in mind that he might be retracting. And in fact, when we pray tonight, we will still pray for that. We think of Peter, we think of our own hearts. We know our God is a God of second chances. But On the contrary, last Sunday night in his own pulpit at his church, in a 45-minute message, he dug his heels in, defended his counsel, refused to repent, and made matters much worse. As of this afternoon, there's 68,000 views of Begg's sermon in the last 5 days. Basically, Begg said that anyone who disagrees with him on attending gay weddings is a self-righteous, hypocritical Pharisee with the older brother syndrome in the prodigal son parable, Luke 15, doesn't love the lost, and is probably a product of legalistic American fundamentalism. Well, no, tell us how you actually feel about us, who hold a different view than him. See, beloved, this is yet more evidence of the rampant antinomianism and hyper-grace theology of our day, this growing attitude of lawless license that is again ravaging the church today. Shall we sin that grace may abound? May it never be. Romans 6. Giving you a word about the man, a word about the situation, a word of clarification. We are not saying that Begg is a heretic or a false teacher, or that he has not been faithful over many decades and greatly used of God. We are saying Begg is in serious error that could lead many others to heresy if left unchecked and unrepented of. We ought to earnestly pray indeed for his repentance from such unbiblical and foolish counsel about gay weddings. Here's what's at stake by way of summary and introduction, beloved. On the biggest ethical battle of our day, the very definition of marriage and gender, at the very point where the warfare rages hottest, Begg failed us. One of our leading captains capitulated to the culture and caved into the lies of the enemy. That's what happened, and no less than that. It's that serious. But Begg said last Sunday night, it's a storm in a teacup. It's just an American issue. I've heard South African leaders saying the same thing now, church leaders. Some offshore issue over there, overseas, that we can just downplay and ignore and avoid and carry on with our happy South African lives. I want you to raise your hand tonight if you or someone you know has been invited to some sort of gay, lesbian, trans event. Raise your hand. Aren't you so glad this is only an American issue? Look around. Some engagement, some so-called wedding, some adoption, some other thing that would give clear approval of their LGBTQ union. Carl Truman rightly said, "You may not be interested in the sexual revolution, but the sexual revolution is very interested in you." The tidal wave has arrived on shore. It's coming for us all. We will have our moment of truth. It will test what we really believe and if we truly stand or not. These fault lines, as Vody has been saying for years, are serious. They are divisive, not because of those teaching the truth, but those introducing error. But at least these fault lines are becoming clearer. And now we can see who actually stands with us or not, who we can actually work with or not, where we stand as a church and seminary, and we can stop playing games with those who actually aren't willing to pay a price for the truth, to be frank. And we can pray that God helps us to stand and to stay standing. Lead heretic of the gay Christian movement, Matthew Vines, last week tweeted out his gratitude for Begg's position. Friends, it's not a good sign when false teachers are praising your last sermon. What is our whole mission as a church? It's on our logo. It's every local church's mandate. 1 Timothy 3:15, to be the pillar and support of the truth. Do we understand, beloved? Truth is what defines and unites us. It's not tradition, it's not personality. It's, oh, I like this preacher or that pastor or this style, oh, or with this color or culture of church or even this denomination or we've had these shared emotions or experiences or sentimental memories or we like this music or this program or we have this architecture or this vibe or this ethos. All that unites us is truth. If we don't have solid doctrine and solid truth, it falls apart and the game is over. Truth. The pillar and support of the truth. That's our bond. It's our identity. It's our life together. So then, what does the Word of God say about these things? Two questions quickly. which God's word gives clear answers to keep us united and standing firm in the truth in a world of lies. First, can I attend a gay wedding? Second, how can I reach my LGBTQ friends? First, more of a negative question, followed by a more of a positive solution. Number one, can I attend a gay, lesbian, or trans type wedding? Answer, absolutely not. No way, never, under any circumstances. No, 1,000 times no. Was that nuanced enough? Thus says the Lord. There's nothing unclear or confusing in the Bible on this question. The truth doesn't change. Even if it's my own precious son or daughter or beloved grandchild, even though I must decline the invitation with a broken heart and with tear-stained cheeks, the biblical answer remains unchanged. Here we must stand with an answer that's uncompromising, unshaken, unequivocal. And friends, if 20 years from now you need to play this video for me because I've gone soft, I ask you to do so. For the honor of Christ, our King, and his unchanging word, for the good of his church, for the love of our neighbor, the good of all society, the Christian cannot attend any form of LGBTQ so-called wedding. Genesis 1 and 2, male and female. Not Adam and Steve, Adam and Eve. He created them. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they become one flesh. Throughout the law, the prophets, the Psalms, Old, New Testament, unanimously declare only a man and a woman can marry no one else. Exodus 20, seventh commandment, the sanctity of marriage. Matthew 19, we heard from Jesus. Revelation 21, the whole story of Scripture, the entire fabric of society is built upon heterosexual monogamy. You destroy that, you destroy civilization. You attack the Creator himself, the very author of marriage. You condone gay marriage, you undermine the created order, you defy nature itself. Ephesians 5 sums up the teaching of all Scripture. Marriage portrays Christ in the church. You join in the demise of marriage, you make a mockery of Christ himself. And you claim to be a Christian? How in the world did the church become so weakened, so cowardly that we've stopped defending marriage? That we've surrendered the culture war to secularism? We're not even sure marriage is worth fighting for, though we've all reaped tons of benefits from it in society, but we've just given up on being salt and light. So let's just succumb to the decay and the darkness. How did we reach this low point of such a worldly view of weddings? Such an individualistic consumer view of weddings that denies the covenantal nature of the ceremony, that all in attendance are not mere spectators, that they are witnesses of a binding covenant ceremony. A Christian has no business being anywhere near a pseudo-wedding, an immoral and a perverse trampling of marriage, a pretend ceremony exalting sodomy and celebrating a lie. A non-wedding with a non-marriage disguised as the real thing. Are we people of the truth or lies? Are we children of the day or of the night? Moeller says the whole context of the wedding is a public event, is the public exchange of vows and the public declaration of the rightness of this relationship. Just look at the historic language used in Christian weddings. Language asking if anyone here present knows any reason why this man and this woman should not be joined together in holy matrimony. Let them speak now or forever hold their peace. James White, Dr. White, says about the bed controversy, here is the central issue. Attendance at a wedding is not the same thing as Jesus eating with sinners. These are knowing rebels profaning the first ordinance established among humans by God. Can I, as a Christian, attend a gay wedding? Answer, a Christian may attend any lawful wedding according to God's law. A Christian may not attend any unlawful, illicit, unrighteous, or false wedding. Unlawful weddings, according to the Bible, would include a Christian marrying a non-Christian, 1 Corinthians 7, an unbiblically divorced person who is not remarriageable, who is openly committing adultery by getting married when they were not unbiblically divorced, A polygamous wedding, very relevant on this continent. Any non-heterosexual union, as Dr. White calls it, this is not gay marriage, this is gay mirage. Another writer states, Alistair Begg's position applied consistently means John the Baptist would have attended Herod and Herodias' incestuous wedding and brought a gift. After all, they knew he was opposed to it. There's one way to keep your head and deny your faith. Position I'm presenting is what the Christian church has always believed and never doubted until recently. Antioch, Declaration of Faith. All members affirm this. We believe God has ordained marriage as a heterosexual relationship between a natural man and a natural woman. Catechism question, number 70, under the seventh commandment. What is marriage? Answer, marriage is a God-ordained creation ordinance in which a man and woman are joined together in a holy covenant of companionship. Please understand, marriage is for humans, not just Christians. It started at creation, not redemption. Every lawful, legitimate, sadly, we have to now clarify, heterosexual, natural marriage is joined by God, not just Christians. Hindus, Muslims, and others, even though they're not giving credit to the author of marriage under the word of God, God still joins every person who makes their vows in a lawful union. That's been always a position of the Christian church, Protestant and Catholic, for centuries. Our elders' position paper is on our website as well. Marriage, divorce, remarriage, and sexuality. It's a detailed affirmation of biblical marriage, a rejection of all unbiblical marriages. London, 1689, Baptist Confession, chapter 25, extremely clear about marriage for humanity, not just for Christians. Sola 5, our own local association of churches, core value number 5, marriage and sexuality. Quote, God created mankind male and female, ordained marriage as a lifelong union between a natural man and a natural woman. We further affirm that marriage is by nature heterosexual and that any expression of sexual intimacy is holy only in the covenant of marriage. We deny the legitimacy and permissibility of homosexuality, lesbianism, fornication, adultery, pornography, pedophilia, bestiality, prostitution, incest, and other forms of sexual perversion. 2017, Nashville statement, signed by Pastor Begg and most other of our Reformed evangelical leaders and heroes. Quote, we affirm it is sinful to approve of homosexual immorality or transgenderism and that such approval constitutes an essential departure from Christian faithfulness and witness. We deny that the approval of homosexual immorality or transgenderism is a matter of moral indifference about which otherwise faithful Christians should agree to disagree. Friends, I'm afraid that Christians today, some have forgotten that the Bible plainly tells us, there's whole chapters in the Bible that say, Christian, there are places you don't get to go to. That's right. There are biblical boundaries and a child of God dare not be found there. You ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 10? It's a whole chapter that says, you got no business pitching up at a pagan temple. Well, you want to find one of the clearest 21st century versions of pagan worship ritual and idolatrous ceremony at the altar of sodomy. How about attending a gay trans wedding? We've discussed as elders, what about, maybe you're sitting here tonight and you went already and we won't take a show of hands. You attended an LGBTQ wedding. You're a member of this church. You refuse. You're not sitting there ashamed, asking the Lord's forgiveness. You're proud and loud and boasting about it. Matthew 18 at some point would apply to that wayward brother or sister. Starting with private rebuke, steps 1 and 2. And possibly, if such a person openly continues to boast and condone, attend other LGBTQ events in an unrepentant way, approving of this lifestyle, then a church ought to have the courage to practice public censure in steps 3 and 4 from Matthew 18. Number 2, we've answered how can I attend a gay wedding? Number 2, how can I reach my LGBTQ friends for Christ? Answer, in short, is the same way you reach any lost people, by proclaiming the gospel to them without compromise, proclaiming to them the whole Christ of the Bible, the full Jesus of the law and the gospel, not the half Christ that is all gospel, no law, all grace, no judgment, all good news, no bad news, all faith and no repentance. But proclaiming the biblical gospel, like John the Baptist, Matthew 3, like Jesus, Matthew 4, like Paul, Acts 17, like Paul, Acts 20. Repent and believe the gospel. Turn and trust. Bow the knee to King Jesus. Receive his gracious pardon. Accept his full and free forgiveness of your sin and eternal life in Christ alone. But it's our love for the lost that calls them to repent, specifically to forsake actual unlawful deeds, to renounce specific sins. Remember Paul with King Agrippa, Acts 24? It was only when he started to talk about self-control and righteousness, in other words, to put his finger on sexual immorality, that Agrippa said, whoa, Paul, you can go now. Ah, interesting. Calling sinners to turn away from every known transgression of the law of God. Yes, Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners. His grace was indeed scandalous to the self-righteous. But never did Jesus condone or join in their sin. Never did he attend a public endorsement and official celebration of their sin. Sure, the elder brother of the prodigal should have shared the father's joy over his wayward son coming home. No, the father didn't go to the far country to join his son in the muck of the pig pen. No, the father did not signify any approval or condoning of his son's sin. He celebrated only when his son clearly, publicly repented of his sin and returned to the right path. Ligonier has one of the finest responses. We'll send that out this week on the newsletter, Antioch Alert. You can look it up tonight on gay weddings. Ligonier, they didn't even need to mention Begg's name. Clearly and emphatically, they're responding to what happened this last week. Very helpful, R.C. Sproul's ministry, Ligonier. Well, friends, if we can't attend any unlawful gay weddings, how do we reach our lost LGBTQ friends? How do we proclaim the gospel and get the message of salvation to them? Well, the list is long. By praying and pursuing every lawful form of human care, of neighborly concern, of real kindness, of genuine friendship, all the while knowing they may still reject us because of Christ and because we cannot condone their sodomy. But still, there's many wholesome, natural avenues open to build bridges, to bring gospel influence. You can do certain sports or hobbies. There are certain school or community activities. There could even be family or holiday gatherings if they're a loved one. You're still in the same family by nature, though obviously not by grace. Birthdays, special occasions, thoughtful gifts of many kinds, as long as it doesn't signify approval of their homosexuality. I don't know. Walking dogs together, helping with gardening, home renovations, car repair, childcare, visiting them in the hospital, prison, sickbed, cultural, historical interests, societies, philanthropic causes, book clubs, discussion groups. Invite them to church. Imagine that. Easter, Christmas concerts, other relevant seminars or conferences. Show we take their questions seriously. Don't be dismissive or impatient. Give thoughtful, respectful answers, like 1 Peter 3 talks about. Practice Christian hospitality. Invite them over for a meal. Better separately. Can't attend their adoption parties. I sure wouldn't let them stay overnight in the same room in my house, but hey, they're really determined. They'll book a hotel nearby, but we got separate rooms. We're going to do all we can to still have a friendship with you and to show Christ to you. Go and read Rosaria Butterfield. Excellent writings, profound testimony of how Christian hospitality won her to Christ out of years of lesbianism as a professor in queer studies. Amazing testimony, Rosaria Butterfield. And she emphatically disagrees with Begg's position last week and says she would never attend a gay wedding. And that was the most loving thing for those who refused to support her gay lifestyle and called her to repentance and showed her and explained to her Christ. 1 Corinthians 5, I didn't tell you to disassociate, to withdraw with moral people of the world. Then you'd have to go out of the world. John 17, Jesus calls us to be in the world, but not of it. Nowhere are we called to be nuns and monks and hermits and isolationists, living our little Christian bubble and escaping into our church subculture. Sure, our church family, fellow believers, are our closest, deepest, most frequent house friends. And yet still, we must befriend lost family members, neighbors, coworkers, looking with the eyes of Jesus, Matthew 9, moved within, troubled as he saw lost people, harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, showing the heartfelt compassion of Christ for the women at the well of our day, like John 4, the sexual refugees, bent and twisted, left thirsty by the empty wells of this world that never satisfy. Where else will they learn about living water, eternal life, lasting joy, if not from us, Christ's ambassadors? We must never cease praying and looking for open doors for the gospel. Colossians 4, praying for an open door to speak forth the mystery of Christ. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. I close with this. If you want to dig deeper on this recent debacle, in addition to the Ligonier response, there are four biblical, excellent, helpful responses that we've looked at as elders as well. Doug Wilson, Owen Strahan, Robert Gagnon, G-A-G-N-O-N, Wilson, Strahan, Gagnon, and I already mentioned Carl Truman. John Piper gave the same answer we've given tonight years ago on someone who asked, "Can I attend the gay wedding?" He gave a clear, biblical, emphatic answer, and then he ended by saying, me not going to this gay wedding of my loved one is not me drawing away from my child, it is him drawing away from me. I stand where I've always stood, arms wide open to the homecoming prodigal who will repent, ready to forgive anything, eager and hopeful when they ask for forgiveness and turn from their wicked ways. Let's pray. Lord, as we turn now to our knees, as it were, as we seek your face in prayer, as we seek to respond in a godly way to the sexual revolution that is ravaging our world and that is infiltrating the church, strengthen us, encourage our hearts, unify us in the truth. Keep us standing for the truth, living out the truth, where the heat is on, where the pressure is greatest, where we are most tempted, now or in future, to cave in and capitulate. Thank you that we stand not in our own strength, but your strength alone. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.